The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
So what is God doing today among Gen Z young people?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here, coming your way from Federal Way, right outside of Seattle, Washington. I'm not going to be taking any calls today. I've got a special interview sitting here with some young people from the church where I've been ministering this weekend. I did a Saturday night service. They have three services on the weekend because of the amount of people that they have. But I did a Saturday night service and preached on one subject, then Sunday morning on another subject, first service, then Sunday morning, second service, another subject. And there were folks who came to all three services over the weekend, especially the young people, which I was glad to see. So I asked the pastor, Pastor Ben, hey, can you grab some folks here at Northwest? Can you grab some folks together? And I want to sit and talk with folks that range in age from 16 to 25. And I want to ask them a bunch of questions about, okay, in your generation, be Gen Z, what's happening with young people? What are their needs? How do they view the gospel? Some of them have been in public school, Christian school, homeschool. What's God doing? What do you find is the key to the strength of the church here? So first, I'm going to ask each of our panel of five experts to lean over to my mic here and just give us your first name and how old you are. We'll go starting here to my right. Go ahead.
My name is Azariah, and I'm 17 years old.
All right.
My name is Kiana. I'm 20 years old.
My name is Alex. I am 25 years old.
My name is Samuel, and I'm 16.
My name is Kenzie, and I'm 18.
Okay, so we got a great range here, 16 to 25. You're the old guy here, 25. Think of that, feeling old. I'm 68, so we keep things in perspective here. Okay, so here's my first question, and any of you can join in, but in the general public, like public schools, things like that, the kids that you know who are not saved, not in church, what do they think about God and the gospel? If you just think of like your parents, how many of you were raised in the faith, raised by moms and dads? So you're all raised in Christian homes, right? So your parents grew up in a little different world than you're growing up in. I grew up in a different world too. But we'll start over here and just go around with any thoughts you have. But generally speaking, like when your friends know you're a Christian, talk about Jesus, God, Bible, is that like a good thing to them? Is that something they're totally unfamiliar with? Are they hostile? What do you, and any of you can jump in, but what do you see? What's the climate, spiritual climate among your contemporaries? Go ahead if you like.
Oh, well, the friends that I've had, and whenever I invited them to church or talk about God, they're kind of just like, yeah, okay, like, they don't receive it as how you would want them to, I guess, but there's only been a few times where they're like, no, I don't agree with that, or we disagree, like, strongly on different things, and so, yeah, just with the friends that I've made throughout the years.
And in the, like, in the public schools, those who are in it, how many kids, what percentage of the kids, if you're in a class, the classes you're in, how many other kids seem to be real serious believers?
I would say very few. I, just growing up in like the public, like going to a public school, I did not know a lot of other people that had a similar faith to mine. There was maybe like a few in every class, but the older we got, the fewer there seemed to be. So,
Yeah. And again, what about when we come to like social issues and things like that? Let's say, you know, gay, lesbian, bi, trans, etc. The public schools you're in, was that a message that they were sending? Was that something you ran into a lot? Give me some examples of what would be like the norm. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, when I was growing up, the LGBTQ community slowly started to to gain a lot more, like a lot more people started opening up about their sexuality and that sort of
thing. So you're 20s. So this is in your lifetime.
Yes.
You saw the shift.
Yeah. And, but recently actually, it wasn't super big when I was like in high school-ish. I knew about it. There were a couple of kids that were transgender or that, you know, identified as gay or lesbian or bisexual. But when I went actually back into a middle school here to volunteer, and the entire like atmosphere has changed to being more inclusive. Kids are identifying as they, them, every time they introduced themselves to me, they would tell me their pronouns.
Wow.
And it seemed to be every kid. And I was like, these are middle schoolers.
Yes.
You know, like 6th to 8th grade. And they're telling me, oh, is she, they, them.
Right. So you're only out of high school a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you weren't seeing this in high school a couple years ago. But now you're seeing it in middle school.
In middle school. I went to volunteer and it's the entire thing. The whole middle school was like this, and it's pretty intense.
Got it. Anyone else want to add into that in terms of what you've experienced?
It's kind of like, as a Christian, I felt like I had to support it. I mean, growing up in, like, when I was in middle school, like, it's almost like you have to say, yeah, that's okay, because everyone else is saying that around you. And so I saw like more of that when I was going into, but then I switched over to a Christian school, so there's a lot less, but yeah, it's like,
but even in the Christian school you see some.
Yeah.
Okay. And as far as teachers, would they be saying, where, how much were they pushing? Go ahead.
So I'm doing Running Start, so I'm going to a college, but I'm still in high school. And so this last year I had pretty much in every single class that I was in, they would start off the first discussion or the first assignment with, how do you want to be referred to? Like, what's your name? What's your pronouns? And so all my teachers had their own pronouns, and they were very clear. We want you to use our pronouns. And one of them was a biological female, and she told us, I do not want you to call me she. I do not want you to call me Mrs. Like, she was very adamant. She wasn't rude about it, though. It was just she was very clear, like, I do not want anyone to refer to me by these other.
Got it. Yeah, please. So as the old man here, 25.
You know, actually, it actually goes pretty far back for me. I always went to public school. I actually remember when I was in 5th grade. I was talking to one of my peers, and for some reason we were talking about just like history, and I brought up the story of Noah and how he was like building an ark and like how he had to put all the animals in the ark. And then my teacher at the time, she pulled me out of class and said, Alex, we don't really talk about that. Those are just make-believe stories. She was probably 60 at the time. So.
And how old were you then?
11, maybe. So she's probably in her mid to late 70s, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So
she told you that, not just don't talk about, but they're make-believe stories.
Yeah. And I was just a little like, really? Like, you're allowed to tell me that? But then, like, just throughout the years, especially, like, in high school, like, they just started, you know, there seemed to be, like, a club for everything. Like, some good clubs, but also, like, a club for, like, LGBTQ or, like, I don't know, like, other things. But they even had like days where like they would recognize those, you know, those people groups, and certain kids would walk around with a piece of duct tape on their mouth.
Day of silence.
Yeah, the day of silence.
Yeah, in and April.
I would just ask questions, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? They wouldn't say anything, of course.
What percentage of the kids would go along with that, like on a day of silence?
That was at the time, so like that was probably 7 years ago, I would say it was generally pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the kids were not very liberal and open about their, you know, about, you know, the left side and other things like that. Most of them were honestly just passive. They didn't say anything about their beliefs. Like, you were either like super left or super right.
Got it.
But the majority, they didn't talk about their beliefs or their faith or anything.
So it's interesting to see the degree of what's become the norm right? So 16 years old, are you in public school now?
No, I'm in Christian school.
Okay, so how old were you in public school?
I was in seventh grade, and then COVID hit, and then we went to, instead of doing online, we went and did in person at Christian school.
So. Okay, so in you were in the first year of middle school?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what was, in terms of like gay activism, what was the environment there that you ran into?
So it was kind of like, if you like had any personality that was kind of like, in a way they would say like zesty, like weird, like you had a high pitched voice, you acted this or you dressed like this, they would say, oh, you're gay. You act so gay or like something like that. And they would make fun of you. And it wasn't like something that you could be, but like mm-hmm. it wasn't accepted really. It felt like if you were this, you're like an outcast. And it wasn't, but then there was also people like teachers, they like wouldn't talk about it as much because most of my teachers were Republican, like really, except for like a few, like they didn't speak about
it. All right, so you're in a more conservative environment. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cause it does shift, obviously. I mean, it's Washington State is not conservative, and Seattle is obviously, you know, with Antifa and everything that happened, you know, there've been hotbeds here. This may sound like a weird question, and again, depends on the system your school system you're in, or college. But did kids identify as furries? Did you run into that at all?
I had a girl who would walk around like the hallways with rat ears and a rat tail, and that was like such a norm, and it wasn't very like common, but it was definitely present. And I felt, but the thing is like in the culture, like, or in like when I was growing up, and that was like, we would see kids with costumes on in the hallways. It was something that was definitely very widely made fun of. Like, that wasn't something that was accepted. Like,
right.
I feel like the LGBTQ community was like, oh, you're gay. Okay. Like, that's fine. But if you're wearing a tail through the hallways, like, everybody was bound to make fun of you. Like, there were very few that were accepting of,
yeah.
of that.
And of course, that's what a lot of the kids would say, that they, where they identify. Because where before gay was cool and you know, and the celebration of all these things, you were outcast, you were marginalized, and no one understood you. And then you're out now that you came out as, you know, gay now. Okay, now people get it. And so the same thing with, quote, furries. And I don't say that again to mock people. We understand everybody goes through phases. And, you know, I went through my phases as a teenager, you know, wasn't raised in the faith and all that. So sometimes it's just rebelling against the system or just doing things to, you know, kids wear a certain haircut just to tweak you, just to get a reaction.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But then you have others that really, there's, you know, issues on the inside. So I want to go deeper in our next segment and talk about, spiritually speaking, what some of the pressing needs are. I absolutely believe, as I shared this weekend, that we're going to see a massive harvest of souls from those in Gen Z, which would be the most fatherless generation in our history in terms of kids born out of wedlock, would be, in terms of stats, the loneliest, most depressed, suicidal. It's sad to see, but the most ripe for the gospel, potentially. So we will be right back. And this other break.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of 3 gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalea, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
The Truth Network
presents Life 101, the basic rules for getting by and moving ahead in life.
We've all faced times in life where we are completely overwhelmed with just too much to do. This is usually due to our own false beliefs that we actually have to do all the things that we're doing. In reality, some of the things we're doing or committed to are simply due to careless overcommitment. So how do you reverse it and find spare time? Start with only one thing. Jesus said there's plenty of time in one day to worry about the things for that day. And since that's true, there must be something that you can cut out. Whatever it is, quit talking yourself into holding on to it. It may take a bold step to humble yourself and tell others that you're overcommitted. Then as soon as you can, drop out of that one thing that you really don't have to be doing. Afterwards, you will find more peace of mind and life will become less of a burden and more of a joy. Do it today. Pray for wisdom to find that one thing in life that you can drop to achieve more balance in your schedule and more peace of mind in life. You are listening to The Truth Network. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here in Federal Way, Texas with five young people loving Jesus, young people ages 16 to 25, talking about their generation. Hey, I just want to tell you something that happened to me Saturday night. I preached, people came to the altar, sought God together, and then afterwards there were a number of pastors, leadership teams from, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 different churches. So a number of them were able to stay after. So I just did a Q&A with them for like an hour. And there was one gentleman from Squim, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Like Squim. I didn't believe there was such a place called Squim. So he drove like an hour and a half to be here, 39 years old. And hey, buddy, if you're listening, send us your own testimony in your own words, under 2 minutes. We'll use it. But he wanted me to know, he's a regular listener to the broadcast, but he wanted me to know that he started using our wellness supplements, Trivita, which co-sponsors our broadcast and helps us reach so many of you. And he's 39 years old, and he said, I want you to know I'm now lifting weights I haven't lifted since high school. So I said, what are you doing? He goes, the same regimen as you. So Nopalea, nitric oxide, MyoHealth. So they're not substitutes for healthy eating, but boy, they are great supplements, and you will get results. So call 800-771-5584, 800-771-5584. Check out the great supplements there. It's a great way to support our ministry and bless your own life. You can go to trivita.com, T-R-I-V-I-T-A, trivita.com. Use the code BROWN25, and I want to hear your stories. I want to hear your results as well. Okay, so getting back to Gen Z, did you know kids, or do you know kids that cut themselves?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So this, I need you to lean in closer to the mic here. This is not a new thing, right? This has been, it wasn't common when I was a kid, and all the drugs, rebellion, and crazy stuff. This was just not something we did. So it's something more recent. And, you know, millennials, so the generation before you, it's been common among them. Why, to your knowledge, do kids cut themselves? What's going on? Why are they doing it?
I personally know of probably 6 people that have cut themselves or are still cutting themselves. And, I mean, there's also other things that go. They have depression, they have anxiety, they Right. have suicidal thoughts, they've tried to commit suicide. When I've talked to these people kind of about, like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, how can I be there for you? How can I support you? It's always just been, like, no one can help me, almost. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, no point to praying. There's no point to doing anything. Like, I'm outside of reach of help, almost. So it's been hard trying to navigate, like, because I almost feel like they don't have any hope. Like, they don't see any sort of, like, point of getting help because they don't think they can. Mm. Like,
all right, so the hopelessness. And what, to your knowledge, why are they cutting themselves? Because they're hopeless. So what's the purpose of that?
I think that, at least what I've been told, I grew up, growing up in public school, it was actually more common than I think people realized.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very, like, not talked about, I think, just because, like, most of the kids that do it are ashamed. They definitely, like, hide it from the outside world because they consider it embarrassing. But from what I've been told by friends that I've seen going through that is that they do it because it takes the pain, like the mental pain that they're mm-hmm. going through, it takes their focus away from right. that and onto the physical pain that they yep. feel. So with cutting, it's they're no longer focused on their depression, their anxiety, their thoughts of hopelessness. Like Azariah was saying, like they feel so hopeless and helpless and like there's nothing on this world that is going to be able to fix their mental pain, but it takes the edge off because they're doing something physically that is causing them pain physically, so
Got
they're
it.
Not focusing on
right
on that. Yeah.
that and so I want to probe in a minute why there's so much hopelessness and depression and loneliness and the suicide. Try to get to the root of it and then talk about what God's doing, what you're seeing and lives that are changed. So that's one thing I've understood over the years, that the emotional pain is so intense that this at least is a distraction. Another thing that I heard was that it enabled them to feel, because some of them were so dull. So go ahead, comment on that.
I have had a few friends who like gone through like struggle with like self-harm and doing that, and it's how I've explained, or how they explained it to me, was like they feel empty because they're going through depression and other mental illnesses, and so they do it because they want to feel something, and maybe that is like feel physical something, but then it also causes them to like feel ashamed or just like some type of emotion. They
just
want to feel something.
Yeah.
You know, I also want to comment. I feel like, you know, me as Orion and Kenzie are all commenting on this, but I feel like it's definitely more common within girls. Like, I don't know a lot of, and I mean, you guys can probably yeah. speak on this too,
I don't know any guys
that have cut themselves, but it's definitely a common thing within young girls and women. I don't know any men that have gone through that, so.
And I also think that ties into, like, self-image. I
yeah.
think a lot of young girls struggle with how they see themselves. And
you start to develop and change.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
a lot of the whole trans thing. I'm not at home in my body.
Yeah.
And now you're told, well, this is why. Because
yeah.
you're really in the wrong body.
And comparing themselves to, like, other girls that they see on social
yep.
media and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So, and this is interesting. I have to think through what I've heard. I know certain things I can say is more common with male, female. But this may be well known that the cutting is more common with females. Don't know, but it's interesting that's your experience. Okay, why so much loneliness, depression? As best as you can tell, you know, from kids you know have interacted with, why is it? You know, a lot of them are in decent homes, A lot of them are, you know, they're not impoverished financially and things like that. And yet, the hole is so deep. So why did, if you were to ask them why, you may have your perspective spiritually, but if you were to ask them why are you so hopeless, why are you in so much pain, what would some of them tell you? Any thoughts here? Maybe they can't articulate it. Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like if I were to ask like my friends from high school that, they would say it's because they just feel empty, that nothing they do makes them happy long term. They just feel like they have to keep looking, and yeah.
So nothing satisfies, is emptiness. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with what Alex said. Like, they just feel empty, and they don't have like anything like in their heart that's like making them like feel anything. So I feel like it's a way of them, like, just my perspective is like, it's a way of them trying to find an identity in something, like, oh, I'm depressed, but like that's not what their intention is, but like that's also like a way,
it's a category they put themselves in.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like so many people.
Hey friends, this is Dr. Michael Brown. I want to invite you to join our support team. Make an investment of $1 a day that will absolutely last forever. You know, the Lord has given us a holy mandate to blanket America with the Line of Fire broadcast. And on a regular basis, we hear from folks writing in, Dr. Brown, I used to be a practicing homosexual. I listened to you. I heard grace and truth together. I was changed. We hear from pastors who say, thank you for speaking with compassion, giving us backbone and courage. And we know across America, so many believers are getting healthy and strong through listening to the broadcast, through listening to these messages as we tackle the controversies, the most difficult issues of the day. We even hear from former Muslims who've come to faith, from Jewish people who now believe in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, through this broadcast and our resources. So join our support team. $1 or more per day makes you an official torchbearer. Immediately, you will get access to hundreds of hours of terrific online classes and exclusive video content. Every single month, we'll send you a brand new audio message, and along with it, an insider prayer newsletter where we'll talk about the things that are going to be coming in our ministry and share some of the amazing testimonies of the fruit that you are a part of. And when you do sign up, I want to give you two books as a special gift. First, Compassionate Father, A Consuming Fire. Who is the God of the Old Testament? I take the best of my Hebrew and Old Testament scholarship, wrap it together in this book that you'll find eye-opening, answering many of the questions you have. And then Revolution, my classic book that tells you how to wage war with Jesus by overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. We are transformed. We can bring transformation to the nation. So call this number now, 800-538-5275. That's 800-538-5275. Say, I'd like to become a torchbearer, or go to askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate Monthly Support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, welcome back to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. In between Sunday services, gentleman sitting behind me just turned to greet people, and he said, you inspire me. It's just like a shot in the arm. Listening, if you're listening now, buddy, with your wife, I'm sure smiling. But because the wife, smart wife, they introduced the husband to the broadcast. But that's what we're here to do. I mean, literally every day infuse you with faith and truth and courage. And today, as I'm talking to these Gen Z young people, and the neat thing is, pastor told me he got a whole bunch. There are that many young people in the church that love the Lord and that are articulate and have a heart to for their generation. So we just grabbed five, ranges 16 to 25 in age. I'm not taking any calls and just having this discussion with them. So some of them, how many of you were at the youth camp? So most, and 25-year-old, I'm glad they let you in at least a little bit. But hearing great reports, numbers of kids saved, rededicated, touched, and delivered. And so God's at work. And we're going to hear some really neat testimonies in a moment. But the big question, it's easy to look down. It's like, what's the matter with you? Why are you struggling? Why are you going through this? You know, we'll see young athletes. You know, they win a championship, the tennis championship, and then they don't play the next one. It's like, why not? I got to deal with my mental health. And some are thinking, don't you think we didn't struggle? Don't you think, don't you realize we went through our own struggles? And just suck it up and be tough. It's like, why aren't you just doing it? Well, because there's a problem. In other words, they're hurting in certain ways. So I'm not here to point a finger, say what's wrong with you, but to try to find out why so much depression, loneliness, fear. You know, you got social media, everybody's connected, right? It's to somebody, and yet people are more lonely than ever. So the fear that's out there that causes a lot of the depression, anxiety. So let's start. What do you think are some of the causes for that fear and anxiety?
I just know from growing up with social media and having that like access to so much, I was like open to so many things, like just like as an example, learning about depression. It was like I learned about the symptoms, and then I noticed people around me, they would start to like say they were struggling with it, and it's just because we're so like open to it.
So you self-diagnose, yes. And this, okay, and now you start to think, well, I must be more depressed. Yeah. Okay,
and it can actually lead to you struggling with that, and there are. And it's just like, I feel like it just doubled it all because it took like the symptoms and seeing how people actually struggled with it. And then like all these young people just started to look on that and not copy it, but like.
That's me.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and to speak on that, I actually did struggle with depression for, mm-hmm. for a couple of years. And I went to therapy at one point. I actually ended up starting to take antidepressants. And coming from someone who's like lived that, I mm-hmm. really do think that a big part of it had to do with social media. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why was because it was so easy to compare. People mm-hmm. post the best versions of their self on the internet and their best lives and the vacations and all of this stuff. And I'm sitting here and I really was struggling with like my identity, you know, like who I was, my purpose, and this was when I was, you know, not really walking with the Lord, and I just it made me spiral pretty often because I was so focused on how well, quote unquote, mm-hmm. everyone else was doing, and I was like, I'm suffering, like I'm really struggling, and all of these people are doing great, you know, and. That's not necessarily true, but social media is so easy to be fake.
And then, you know, there's a big fad now with kids self-diagnosing as having multiple personality disorder, yeah. mm-hmm. which if the thing even exists as a category, you know, psychologists would, you know, there's this whole big, now I'm just going to self-diagnose. I'm just mm-hmm. going to figure it out. It's like, my leg's hurting. I think I have cancer. You know, you can't just do that. You know what I'm saying? But that's what people are doing mentally, emotionally. And then the comparison mm-hmm. thing. What about the fact that, say, when I was growing up, if you got the news, so you had like a black and white TV, and then it became color TV, it was a big thing, but the news was on, it was like 6 o'clock news and 11 o'clock news, so you could watch the newscast, you get a newspaper. So if something happened in another part of the world, you might find out the next day, you didn't have a video of it or anything to watch, you hear about it. But now everything happening, the war in Ukraine, here's the latest person killed, you know, this bombing here, there's, you know, this accident, people crash, and, you know, this one hanging themselves on, you know, as they're talking about what they're going to do. So do you think that this bombardment of constant day and night, bad stuff, terrible images, is that something that's impacting young people in terms of the flood of this is causing depression, fear, anxiety? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I actually haven't thought about that a whole lot. But that I could see why that wouldn't help. You know, just that constant awareness of the negativity that's happening around the world. I guess maybe to bounce off the whole self-diagnosis theme that we're talking about.
Like, yeah.
If I can just say something, because I feel like we're moving away from that topic.
Yeah, no, go ahead. No, go back to it, please.
But I think the first thing that came to my mind was I think there's a lack of solidarity in our in the lives of a lot of young people and just in
society. What do you mean by that?
Maybe a lack of truth and values that are instilled in young people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of subjectivity. Everything's kind of relative, mm-hmm. and you can
yeah.
kind of
yeah.
oh yeah, sure that yeah that, oh yeah yeah that's
right. I mean, it used to be we would teach history to learn history. You know? Now it's how do you feel about that history? How do you respond to that history?
Right.
Okay.
And I think that's creating a lot of anxiety because young people are starting to feel like, well, if I feel that it's true, it must be true.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, in fact, actually, that's not how it works.
Right,
if you have somebody
right.
in your life, and I think parents should be the first people who can say, no, this is who you are. This is not in like a mean way, but like
reality.
No, like this is the
truth.
Right. You know, it's the difference between going on WebMD and self-diagnosing yourself and going to an actual doctor.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You just need to drink more water. Like
right. So that know, word and, of reason.
Exactly.
And you know, because kids are still going to think things, even if you're not like into a total fantasy. You know, like you might be 15 years old playing piano, think I'm probably the world's greatest piano player. You know, you could easily, and the parents like, no, actually, you need to keep working. You know, you're not even going to make it through this class, kind of thing. There's that reality, you know.
Yeah.
You know that you know the kid's got the Superman cape on, is about to jump out the window. The parents like, no, you can't fly. That's just a movie.
Yeah.
Right, but you're saying that. Now with the subjectivity and even parents affirming it,
mm-hmm.
it goes south in a hurry.
Well, and you can even connect that to like the news and what's kind of put over like young generations. There's so much negativity that I think is constantly being flooded into our minds, into our ears through the news and through social media and all of that like it's, if this is happening there, what's stopping it from happening here?
Right.
You know, like this is happening everywhere and it's so normal and it's so like it's terrifying. And because we hear about it all the time, it's like, well, it's so common, like that could happen tomorrow to me. You know, so that causes a lot of fear and anxiety and depression because it's like this is common.
What about fear of like global warming, climate change, end of the world? Do you hear much about that? Is that more like a...
No.
Just no. Curious. That's something I focus on a lot. But you do, you know, as your generation's growing up, there's some say, I don't want to have any kids because I don't want to bring them into the world when the world's going to be destroyed.
Yeah, I hear
you know,
that
and
a
it's
lot.
Just
yeah,
okay. And, all right, so everyone can connect endlessly to infinite numbers of people through internet, social media, and yet there's more loneliness than ever. So why isn't the connectivity of social media and having, quote, so many friends, and why is the end result that people are more lonely and isolated than ever? It seems to be the opposite.
Well, I think I found that I tend to be the loneliest when I try to medicate with building relationship online.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can't really build relationship through social media. Because you're seeing, like Kiana said earlier, you're seeing people's portrayed lives. They're only sharing certain aspects of their life. They're not sharing usually the hard stuff. They're not sharing the parts that they don't want everyone to know. And so when you just see this, you think everything's fine. And so I'm not going to tell everything that I'm going through to this person because from what I can see, their life looks great. But when you're actually in relationship with someone in just one-on-one and you're like, they're like, I'm going through this hard thing. Like, you can build a relationship because it's not just like you're seeing this one thing. Like, you're actually seeing that they're going through hard stuff. I'm going through hard stuff.
Yeah,
how can
perfection.
I be praying for yeah. you? How can I be?
Right. So relationship is still relationship. There's no knowing about people and interacting online or, you know, 3,000 people liked your vacation photo is different than having a relationship yeah. with someone. And social media, because that's so much of the time is spent there that we end up isolating from real relationships and relating through these, which are artificial. All right, so as you see God moving now, and we'll start here and then spend the last segment talking about what God is doing, but just kind of paint a picture of what's there and the world people are living in and those we're trying to reach. As you're seeing God moving and kids are getting touched for the first time, what is it that happens to them? It's you know, if all right, I mean, there's so many questions to my question, but when you see someone, they really get like, what happens? What is it like, wow, I found it or I discovered this? So
I think my favorite thing that I saw like this week that God like kind of was like pointed out to me is that when they would have like when they would like surrender or like we had a lot of deliverances and just like people just like finally like giving in and responding to God, it was like they were were able to be like a child again, kind of just like free and joyful. And I feel like okay, talking about like culture and like social media and stuff, I feel like so many
and the kid, you had to put your cell phones away and everything, right?
So they got them taken away,
right? You got taken away, right.
And it's like everyone's so cautious and it feels like you have to be like mature and this type of thing, and once like you just like let go of that, it's like they were able to be innocent and like just having joy, like just doing worship and stuff. And it was like, and that's like how God wants us to be. He wants us to be his children. And so it was just so like, it just made me so happy and like in myself too. I felt like I was able to be more like a child and more like trusting him, and it wasn't like so complicated and
interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to come back, go around the room here and find out more, but just the restored innocence and that freedom, that's an amazing insight. All right, friends, God is moving. I believe we're going to see a massive harvest of souls in Gen Z, but we need compassionate, spirit-filled outreach to really be effective. We will be right back.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
I really enjoy being physical. It's something I've just always loved, but I've definitely had times where it's really crippled me up. Being a horse trainer can be pretty physically demanding with all the duties that I have, not just riding horses for a living, saddling horses, caring for the horses. I feel like Nopalea just took the edge off, and then it's continued to keep me from getting sore. Nopalea, it's been a huge blessing.
Now there's a solution by lowering levels of chronic inflammation. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
It's fun to be on the golf course again. I'm able to swing the club freely. Hopefully, I'm hitting better golf shots. Nopalea has allowed me to get back on the golf course, enjoy the game that I love, and maybe even give me that little edge to beat my friends at the game.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. One thing I did at the start of every service over this past weekend here in Federal Way, Washington, was I asked everyone, have you downloaded my app? Did you guys all download the app?
Yes,
all,
I did.
Yes. You did? All right, going to. See, the 25-year-old, he's a little slower, but then he's going to get to it. He's going to get to it.
I was just told that it's not good to pull your phone out while you're listening to someone.
No, that's good. Why I said do it, but I appreciate the honor there. You know. Yeah, so friends, if you don't have the app, it's a way to take me home with you. It's a way to get access to thousands of videos, articles, the daily broadcast, our Jewish outreach website, our animated Consider This videos, all at your fingertips. Enjoy it. All the resources there are free. So download the app now. Ask Dr. Brown Ministries, ASK Dr. Brown Ministries. If you don't get my emails, I met with Pastor Saturday night. One old friend came up to me. He said, I love your emails. Everybody needs to get your emails. So you can get that through the app or at askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Sign up for the emails. We want to pour into you. We want to edify you, strengthen you, equip you, help you. So we're talking about now with this panel of expert Gen Z folks, 16 to 25, just a representative sampling of this church where God's moving wonderfully with young and old alike, about when you're seeing kids your age touched, what happens to them? What's going on? So go ahead, 16-year-old, let's hear from you.
Well, at our kids' camp, there's this, we had a morning chapel and we were teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And afterwards, we had a time where we could pray. And I teamed up with one of our older leaders. His name was Ben. And this boy, he came up to us and we asked him what he wanted prayer for. And all he said was like, he said, tongues. He didn't say, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's all he said. And we're like, well, we talked to him about it. And as we got down to like actually like explaining it, he was like, mm-hmm. Like he actually understood it. And it was like, it was good to see that a young person can actually understand what we were saying. But when we like asked him to like pray out loud, asked God to like give him this gift, he broke out in tears and he was like, I don't know how to pray. Like he was never taught how to pray.
Wow.
And he was like, wow. I don't have the words. So we just sat there and we prayed with him, but he didn't pray until the night of. He actually just like, he just began to speak out and like, he would just pray things like, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Like simple prayers. But it was just amazing to see that his heart was like, he wanted this gift from God. And we said that, pray out and ask God, and he did, and he like received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it was just amazing to see this young boy just like.
How old do you think he was?
He was 11.
11.
That's
11.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, and so didn't know how to pray, and didn't even know what he was asking for, but then, it's the reality of Jesus dying. So you got a testimony.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tend to overcomplicate Christianity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to just go to God and talk to him like a friend. And that was something I actually had one of my girls. I was able to be a youth leader, one of the cabin leaders at this camp this past week. And I had a girl who came to church with her grandma every once in a while, but really had no faith background and didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. And she ended up giving her life to Christ, which, thank the Lord, it was beautiful. It was amazing. And she turned to me during worship, and we had a really powerful group of kids that were just so excited to like worship the Lord. And they were so on fire, and we're jumping and we're singing. And she turns to me, she goes, I never knew that church could be this fun. Mm-hmm. And she was like, and I've never felt so accepted by a group of people. She said, you wouldn't believe me, but I usually am quiet. And I usually like, I'm introverted and I don't talk to people, but she was so loud and so talkative this entire camp, because she said the second she came into our cabin, she immediately felt accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's so beautiful, that like when you introduce people to like a group of people who just love the Lord and love each other, because that's what we're taught to do through Christ. Like we just love like Jesus did. And like, it's hard to not feel accepted, because we love you as you come, not as you could be, but we love you as you come, and mm-hmm. we let the Lord do the rest, you know? And I just think that's really beautiful. And we really just do have to give it to God and say, okay, God, like we're loving on him. Like, we need you to move, you know?
And what about in reaching out and talking to someone, Do you feel it's important for letting them know that their voice counts? In other words, that they have a place at the table, that they have, that they are included in somebody. You were nodding as I was asking that. Do you want to comment on that, or do you want to chew on your comment before you do?
Can you restate the question one more time?
Yeah, so is there... I sat with leaders in their 30s on Thursday afternoon in North Carolina. So they're millennials, but they're reaching Gen Z. And we were supposed to have a discussion. They were going to ask me certain questions. I said, do you mind if I ask you questions? So what's going on in your world, and what do you think? You know, similar questions about what I've been asking you, and what do you see with young people, and so on and so forth. And the next day, when one of them was introducing me, they told everyone how meaningful it was that I wanted to hear from them, that I found that I felt what they had to say was important, and they felt that many young people feel like excluded, and that their voice doesn't matter. So even part of loving someone where they are, it's not that some unsaved kid or a new believer is going to teach me about who God is or what life is, but hey, I want to hear what you have to say. And that gives them a sense of like meaning or validity. And I don't mean to put it on. I mean that you genuinely care. Go ahead.
Oh, that's actually funny that you bring that up, because me and Samuel were talking about that at elementary camp. We had a time of just prayer together, and one of the things that I mentioned as I was reading the scripture, I was like, you know, sometimes I feel like not heard because of my age. I feel like people don't listen to me because I'm not legally an adult. And so I've had to come into conversations kind of almost just like expecting people to treat me like that, because mm-hmm. otherwise I'll feel put down and just not listened to. So it's kind of a hard balance of like, sometimes I just feel like, even when you're 18, I mean, I'm going to be 18 in less than a year, and I don't really feel like in that amount of time people are going to.
No, it's not going to be suddenly like, oh, you're 18. Well, let's, right. Yeah. The thing is, though, for those reaching out, that if we make someone understand that we want to hear you, you know, we definitely know we have the answers to your problems, all of life's problems in the gospel. But we value you. We want to hear from you. There is that sense of belonging that's important. So in your own lives, if you're talking to one of your peers and they don't know the Lord, right? And they just say, well, who is this? You know, who is Jesus to you? What does he mean? What's he done in your life? How what's so big about this, right? And you were just going to not tell them, like, go through all the truths of the gospel, which you would, and we all sinned and Jesus died for us. But just in your own life, who is Jesus to you? What is it that he's done for you? You know, what if I was asking, you know, oh, you got this pet chihuahua, and you go, oh, yeah, he's got this kind of personality, this or that, you know, or your brother, he plays, you know, he's in college, but oh, yeah, he's this, he's that. So if they're, you know, who is Jesus to you?
Well, I'd say Jesus is just, like, someone that's there. Like when I was younger in, like, the youth group, I had, like, a group of friends, and, like, but through COVID, they all left the church, and I was like, what's left? But then, like, I just went through a season of just being, like, sad, because I was like, oh, I don't have my friends anymore. But then I just realized that it was never about just having these friends. It was about Jesus the whole time. And it took me a while to, like, know that, but, like, it's like relationships will come and go, friends will go, like, family will go, but Jesus will always be there by your side. And, like, you can always just, like, reach out to him and talk to him. Just, like, yeah.
Yeah, so to know that, to have learned that at 16, and I'm 68, it gets more true and real every year. Awesome. So, someone else. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. I feel like I would say, you know, of several things, Jesus to me has been my source of truth. He's been, like, my pillar of truth that just brings clarity to my life. He brings a sense of like I was saying, like, I think obviously without God, there's no solidarity. Anything can go. And that's a really fearful world to live in.
Nothing certain.
Yeah, it's not.
But then him, I'm the way, the truth. You read his words, it's like boom.
Yeah, it's that truth. Constant, and I know I need that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, yeah.
I think for me, like, I grew up in the church and I had a really, really strong faith in middle school. I had a great relationship with the Lord, and getting into high school where everything was changing and I was surrounded by uncertainty. I lost my relationship with the Lord in that. And after 3 years of going through a lot, he got me back kind of unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, He is my consistent source of truth, like Alex said, and I think it's more for me, like, he knows me better than I know myself. Mm-hmm. And, like, just being able to, like, walk in his word and in his truth and what he has to tell me, like, I know that, like, if I go to God first and I go to Jesus first and I have that conversation with him, like, I don't need anything else.
Got it.
You know?
Awesome. All right, we are short on time. Real quick, if you had to boil it down, a couple of sentences, who is he to you?
I've been, like, going through this time where, like, God just revealed to me, like, what does it mean that Jesus is our Savior? And as growing up in the church and everything, I didn't realize that I needed a savior or that I was sinful and that stuff, like, I mean, I did bad things, but, like, not, like, I don't know.
Right,
I just
thought
that. And so I feel like I've been praising God a lot lately, just that he's our savior and that, like, Jesus came and he was a real man. Yeah.
And I'll just say this, and you'll have to tell the whole world your story because I'm out of time. I'll say this, as the years go on, it becomes more and more real, and more wonderful, and more amazing, and he's worth living for, dying for, so let's reach your generation with the gospel.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.